something. Mm-hmm. I think Kim Kardashian saw it in a video and put it out on Facebook, like, everybody watch out, there's Momo telling your kids to kill
she
themselves.
She looks like Momo, that's what you described. It's like a voluptuous fake body, big eyes, dead looking and chicken feet.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
So I'm going to kick it off with a Katie kind of robot.
Oh, a Katie kind of robot. Yeah, I can't wait to hear
this. This is a robot that does one thing and one thing only.
Because that's how we met the best kind of robots. Yes. Only do one thing.
They do one thing. I'm going to move this one. I can't see you. So it says this is a remotely operated home robot that can do your laundry. It is huge.
Okay.
So it stands on a column that's like maybe 6.5 feet tall. And at the top of it is the torso of a robot.
Okay.
With a little head. And then its arms stick out. And it's called, it's a robot, I don't know what it's called, I'll find out. It's a robot from Mira Robotics, and it will fold your clothes while taking up a lot of space, and it doesn't work very well, is what it says. Okay. So they've chosen to have it do laundry. But this just is the folding part, not the whole laundry itself. It's just the folding.
Are you kidding?
And the problem with these robots is that robots are very good at doing certain things in certain environments, like a factory environment, but not so good like in your apartment.
All right.
So, and it doesn't have the dexterity to do a lot of the folding that needs to be done at a Japanese standard, apparently.
Oh.
So you have to help this robot out by lifting up the clothing, giving it to the robot.
Are you
kidding? The robot cannot move around. And then it will fold it for you.
It's and then not, throw, it's, drop it on the ground.
Yes, it's not autonomous, which is kind of what a robot
is supposed
be.
To be doing. You're supposed to just set it and forget it.
Yeah. So you won't be able to buy this robot. You can rent this robot on a monthly basis from $180 to $225 per month with the expectations that it will be doing housework several hours each week.
Okay.
And it does have, the creepy aspect about it is that it has three cameras on it, a microphone and a speaker, and Wi-Fi connectivity.
Why?
To fold your shirt.
Wait a minute. That sounds like it's just a spy.
Yeah, it does sound like a spy.
Just minding its own business,
but
folding
a
shirt.
They say here, too, you request the robot complete a task, and a professional operator will connect to the robot to get the work, disconnecting when they're finished. So there's, on the other side of this connection,
it's
there's
somebody.
Some schmuck. Or some, you know, some lowly paid person who's controlling the robot.
Why don't you just hire that person to come in and fold your laundry?
I have no idea. So the torso of the robot goes up and down the column that it's on. So it can fold things
Not
close
creepy.
To the ground. Not creepy at all.
No.
And it says that you get to have the same benefits as someone in your house doing chores for you without actually having to have someone in your house. Keep in mind, this doesn't do all the things that a professional house cleaner would do.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is a job that I value. I think it's a very difficult job to do. And I think that people are the perfect solution to that job.
Right,
someone who you know, who you can trust.
It's going to be touching all your intimates.
Coming and touching all your stuff. And also, I would rather have a person in my home.
Than
a robot. And this is $150 to $225 per month for the robot. Plus, you still have to have the professional cleaning person come in to do everything else.
Yeah.
So this robot does not go to the laundry room. It does not sort light from dark.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know, hand wash a bra or do anything. It merely folds the clothing after you pass it to it. And then it communicates with someone on the other end who is like, fold that shirt.
This is just
and then
this
it
is
folds
ridiculous.
The shirt.
Sounds like a robot I would design because I'm not.
It's a Katie kind of robot.
I'm not a robot designer.
Yeah.
But I think that this
it's
is,
also huge.
This is just, it's really scary.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really scary thing. And if they're trying to do the thing like they have the whole family of robots that will do one thing.
You'll have no room in your apartment.
Yeah.
This thing is massive. And it says here, privacy is a concern, and that's something that Mira is attempting to address. Yes, you have a camera and a microphone and a person on the other side of it. So I don't understand why they can't come up with AI or a program to be like, I'm holding a pair of underwear.
Yeah.
Now I need to fold it like this. But they said that there's, it's better, it's more private than having a person in your home. No, it's not.
It's not at all.
The people who I've ever had cleaning my apartment, I've had a good personal relationship with them. They are professionals, and I trust them to be in my home and to be discreet and to, you know, to have a high level of privacy around what they're doing. That's part of the
requirement,
right?
You don't.
So, yeah, this is a gigantic robot, and for $225 a month, it will fold your laundry. Now, I don't like to do laundry. I don't think anyone does. I like hanging laundry up outside, like in the country where I'm from. That's fun. That's nice because it smells good. No, laundry isn't fun, but it's also not so bad that I need to have a robot for $200 that will do it. Why aren't you, at $200, surely you can send your laundry out.
Absolutely.
And have it folded.
Absolutely. Just take a bag. I was like, why don't you just take a bag or have somebody else carry that bag over to the laundry?
Yeah, and that's been going on for decades. Right?
This is not an improvement.
This
sorry,
is not an
thumbs
improvement.
Down.
Yeah.
Two robotic thumbs down.
Yeah.
To them. Jeez.
Yep. And that would be a machine that just gives thumbs down.
Okay. So, have you heard about this Momo challenge?
I've heard Momo.
Okay.
That's it. I don't know anything about it.
Does it strike terror in your heart?
No. Is it a small, cute thing?
No.
Because with a name like Momo.
It started, it got the public's attention in July 2018 when...
It's that old?
Yeah.
Okay.
When it was noticed by a YouTuber, it's targeting teenagers and...
What do you mean noticed? Presumably it was out there for people to watch.
No, it looks female. What it is this, it's a very, kind of a grotesque face. It's like, almost like, you know, the ring, the creature that
Golem?
Comes... No, the ring, the Japanese movie.
Oh, I haven't seen that one. Ringu.
Okay. Long dark hair, big haunting eyes, grimace, kind of a smile expression, which goes down into this kind of a voluptuous chest, and then chicken legs.
Oh, is it? It's Japanese.
Yeah.
Okay, that's my guess.
Right. So this thing will appear suddenly in the middle of like a YouTube video, and it says like Momo says kill yourself or whatever.
Okay,
and it.
I'm sorry, I grew up in the 80s, like Freddy Krueger and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so these Momo videos go out and they tell you to do this, the Blue Whale Challenge, which is a whole series of tasks that...
Who's the Blue Whale?
It's just the name of the challenge.
Okay.
Blue Whale Challenge, and you would do a bunch of these internet challenges where players are instructed to perform a succession of tasks. And refusal to do so would be met with threats.
Okay.
And then you would also get these frightening or gory pictures sent to you if you didn't do the tasks.
Okay.
And they kind of escalated into these challenges where you ended up like harming yourself physically or killing yourself.
And is this an urban legend?
This is kind of an urban legend. There has been some Momo videos reported, like a little 5-year-old boy called 911 because he saw Momo in a video. And they had to...
Who gave him a phone?
He got on the phone.
So he was just completely by himself. Somebody needs to call Momo and his parents. You know what I mean?
Right.
This is why you supervise your children when they're watching anything.
Yeah. So it's basically, they're saying it's more of a hoax. There are some of it floating around, but it kind of got inflated into this whole big thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kim Kardashian saw it in a video. And put it out on Facebook, like, everybody watch out, there's Momo telling your kids to kill themselves.
She looks like Momo, that's what you described. It looks like a voluptuous, fake body, big eyes, dead-looking, and chicken feet.
There are reports of the Momo appearing, like Argentina, Brazil, Canada, like all over the world, in Europe.
Appearing on YouTube?
Yeah, and people are reporting seeing this Momo inserted into different videos.
Well, yeah, because they're inserting it into different videos.
Yeah. But nobody has actually harmed themselves.
Okay.
So it's not like a bunch of kids are dying because of their Momo's telling them.
Yeah,
to
because
do the
generally
challenge.
Children are much more intelligent than adults. Adults mm-hmm. are panicking about something that children are like, "Hey, check this out."
Right. And so
except for the 5-year-old who was probably watching on his own phone and then called the police on that phone.
Yeah, it turns out like the Momo image itself was a sculpture by
mm-hmm.
a Japanese artist
mm-hmm.
that was kind of taken and used for this purpose.
And now this work is
like
out there.
So they had to, the artist had to destroy the Momo because it was...
It was scaring people?
It was scaring people.
Based on what you described, what did he or she think was going to happen?
Yeah, bulging eyes, a huge beak-like mouth. It was, the sculpture itself was named Mother Bird. And it is a disturbing looking kind of a
mm-hmm.
statue. Yeah, so they had to take it down.
It's too late now though because the image is out there.
Yeah.
Momo.
Yeah.
All right.
So people, I mean, just recently they were talking about, I saw it on Facebook, people are scared and they're like, oh, watch your kids, you know.
So remember when we were kids, there was tons of stuff going around like that.
Yeah, and this is
an
example of what they call a moral panic.
Yeah.
A moral panic is a feeling of fear spread among large numbers of people that some kind of evil threatens the well-being of society.
We elected him.
Yeah.
There's no mystery in any of this.
Yeah,
the evil in society is man.
All right. Well, the thing is, like, it has to be the other. It's like some unknown other that suddenly, you know, has control over
mm-hmm.
our children.
I'm surprised this hasn't manifested itself yet in fear of Asians. Because it's coming out of Japan.
No,
because people are that foolish.
Different things. Remember, like... Satanic music.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The satanic music that supposedly was making everyone kill themselves, but
right.
Nobody did.
If, listeners, if you don't know, in the 80s there was a big thing, a big crusade against rock music
mm-hmm.
and heavy metal because they said that there were satanic messages embedded within.
And as a result, we were listening for those messages
and
trying to find them.
Because they told you if you spin the record backwards,
mm-hmm.
then you can hear the
satanic
messages. And I think Tipper Gore was in charge of this crusade. It was Al Gore's wife who was in charge of...
She was definitely trying to get rid of music because of the messages in it.
Yeah.
She was a little unbalanced, though.
And it's funny to me. There's a song called Mother, and it's a rock song. And it's one of the funny... It's unintentionally funny to me. But it's a song, an ode to this mother watching over us and telling us, the government telling us what we can and can't do. It's a response to Tipper Gore's attempt to squelch rock music.
And free speech.
And free speech.
And self-expression.
So moral panics have several distinct features. The number one is concern. There has to be a belief that a behavior of a group or there's an activity deemed deviant and it's likely to have a negative effect on society, such as the war on drugs, again, the satanic music.
When they used to burn disco records because it was making people gay.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes, that's what I was trying to
yes.
think of, Dungeons and Dragons.
That kind of thing.
If they had only known the people who were playing Dungeons and Dragons, some of the most harmless people... ever.
Yeah.
Those kids?
Yeah.
They were the ones who were generally getting picked on, or they just didn't want to be a part of all the BS that was going on.
Right.
So they holed up and played Dungeons and Dragons.
Right. So there
Magic was another one, Magic the Gathering, where people
yeah.
were all freaked out because kids were playing card games.
Right. So anytime there is like the other that is a threat. So another characteristic is hostility. So hostility towards a group in question increases and they become folk devils. And it's a clear division between them or us. So if you have somebody who is, or a group that is so demonized, it's them, you're one of them. And
yeah. Who's supposedly behind the Momo thing?
It was just like somebody saw the statue and decided to do this, make a couple of videos with the statue and spread around. It's just somebody who was kind of jerky, but nobody killed themselves.
Of course not.
Yeah. Consensus. The concern doesn't have to be nationwide. There must be widespread acceptance that this group in question poses a very real threat to society. And it is important at this stage that the moral entrepreneurs are vocal over the folk devils.
They keep electing them.
Yeah, so
like,
moral entrepreneurs,
yeah,
the ones who decide,
devils.
This is wrong and you are the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And then disproportionality. Okay, the action taken is disproportionate to the actual threat posed by the group.
Yeah, so like Tipper Gore trying to destroy people's ability to speak out and have free self-expression
artistic,
versus,
yes.
You know, people just making an album.
Yeah.
That you don't have to buy.
Yeah. But it's really getting to the children.
Yeah.
All of them are in jeopardy.
That's right. The children are always in jeopardy. It's not bad parenting.
I know. Volatility.
It's
moral panics are highly volatile, and they tend to disappear as quickly as they appear because public interest wanes and news reports change to other narratives.
Because we are short attention span theater.
Yeah.
As a nation.
Yeah, there's always another one is hidden dangers in modern technology. You'll see a lot of that happening. Evil stranger manipulating the innocent.
Mm-hmm.
And a hidden world of anonymous evil people.
Oh.
So if you're getting all that stuff happening, it's like, that's a moral panic.
Yeah, I was lucky to be raised in a household that was very rational. But I remember some of my friends' parents overreacting to things like television.
Yes.
So I had some friends who were only allowed to watch maybe 1 hour, 2 hours of television a week. And it was like limited to what they could watch. The idea being that all of those bad things that they were getting, that they could get through television, they couldn't get them anywhere else.
Yeah. Of course.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's no other outlet for these negative things besides, you know, the Dukes of Hazzard.
Right.
So if they just don't watch the A-Team, which is, you know, supposedly very violent, although it's extremely moral and by comparison, not very violent to what people watch today. But if you just keep them away from that, they'll be fine. They'll never have any ideas about violence. They won't engage in self-harm. Everything will be fine if we just keep them away from these television programs.
And just to put it in perspective, this has been kind of thing has been going on throughout history. And we'll start with the 50s saying switchblades.
Oh,
and
yeah.
There was an article titled The Toy That Kills.
Oh, really?
Yes. So that was, so switchblades were a big, if you watch a movie now with a switchblade in it, that was like a big,
deal.
Okay, in the 60s, it was mods and rockers, so people that were in the counterculture and...
Youth,
basically.
Corrupting themselves.
Youth subcultures.
Yeah.
We're, like, going to
not listening
take
to Perry
down society.
Como.
Let's see, in the 70s and till now, it's people talk about the increase in crime. Mm-hmm. It's always been there.
Also, cults.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember, everything
cults.
Was a cult.
Yes.
And I'm obsessed with cults, but what I love about cults... is when someone is in a cult, and then they're like, well, we'll send in our priest to help. So I'm like, I'm going to send in
another cult
one cult
for another.
To get,
Then the video games and violence in video games was a huge one. The war on drugs was another one. And I said Dungeons and Dragons, satanic ritual abuse. Remember Satan was in everything?
Yeah, and we could never find him. Hard as we looked.
In the 90s, it's Blue Star LSD tattoos.
Yeah, that I remember thinking, really, people are giving away acid?
Yeah.
Because I think I was a college student at that time.
It's a Blue Star tattoo legend states that a temporary lick and stick tattoo soaked in LSD in the form of the Blue Star, like the Dallas Cowboys logo is always mentioned, or like a Mickey Mouse or Bart Simpson, was being distributed to children in order to get them addicted to LSD.
Because that's how that works.
Yeah.
Because you know all those kids are lined up for the next hit of acid.
Yeah.
Going back even further, I found some evidence when I was researching a couple years ago that people had the same reaction to chess.
Really?
When chess became very popular, they were like, it's the young people, that's all they want to do is play this game. I'm not kidding you. So adults have always been stupid,
yeah.
I think is the moral of the story. The moral panic.
Moral panic, yeah.
I like it.
Hey, You Know It is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It's pretty dry in this studio. And you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying the gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Mmm, box of wine.
Okay, so the parents of a deceased West Point military cadet want to save his sperm.
Why?
Yeah. So
what?
So this young man died in a ski accident last month, and the state Supreme Court granted his parents' petition to save the son's sperm in order to continue his legacy and their family lineage.
There's other ways to continue your legacy besides sperm. Did he want that?
Well, he was 21.
Yeah.
He was on a ski slope and he was in an accident.
Sure.
And his spinal cord was fractured and he was declared medically brain dead 3 days later.
Okay. So but I'm parents, saying, did he say at any point in his life, if something happens to me, jack me off, put into a cup, and then produce, do you know what I mean?
Not in those words, per se. He said, let's see, so they wanted to,
not
the
in
hospital,
those words.
To proceed with the sperm retrieval procedure on their son's body before he actually died.
He's gone.
He always wanted to live on a ranch and raise the family and have horses, his parents say.
He petition. Wanted to do that, though, when he was alive. I think he wasn't thinking about that happening in his absence.
Yeah. More than his wishes to become a father, Peter is the only male child to continue the Zhu family lineage. His parents attribute this mostly to China's one-child policy, which forced his uncles to each have one daughter. And that's it. So he would be he's like the only son
in
their
family.
That's
too bad. You got daughters left. There's some girls in that family.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right? They can't
there
keep
go.
It going? It's over.
This is our one and only chance of fulfilling Peter's wishes and preserving his incredible legacy.
No.
21 wasn't great.
It's your wishes and your legacy you're concerned about.
The doctors were hesitant but willing to perform the procedure if the family could get a court to authorize it. And the medical workers were extremely kind and understanding. So they went ahead with the request. While he was still on life support. You know, they said Peter was the love of our lives.
They jacked him off
while
he was on life support. Let's just call it what it is. I don't know how else they're going to get that sperm out of there.
Yeah, Peter was one of the top cadets in the class.
Fine,
fine. He was well known, liked all of that.
But he was clumsy and unfortunate. I'm just keeping it real. I'm sorry. He was, you know what, nature selected him.
So, yeah, in situations where the deceased doesn't have a surviving spouse, the committee calls it troubling.
Yeah.
And
he wasn't married.
Yeah.
So his parents want his sperm.
Yeah.
And what are they going to do? Are they going to sneak it into somebody?
And they say the surviving parent doesn't have an ethical claim to their child's reproductive materials because they would have not been involved in the reproductive effort with their child as a spouse or partner traditionally would.
Word.
Yeah. So it's like, he did not leave instructions or wishes other than to be an organ donor. That's it.
Those were his wishes. He wanted to donate organs, not sperm. Mm-hmm. It is horrifying to me. I don't have any eggs. Right? But it is horrifying to me that up on my desk, someone would harvest my eggs and then just do whatever they want with them. This seems to me like theft.
Yeah, I think that it's
you
like
know what I mean?
Now you go ahead and question your country's policy regarding their control over your reproductive rights.
Because if they have control over his body dead, do they have control over it alive? I don't understand what where the boundaries are for this kind of thing.
Yeah, because he was brain dead. Because physically he was still alive and they were going to take him off life support where he would die. But in that twilight, they took his sperm.
So he was an organ donor. So that means that they have some idea about who is responsible for the body. It's him. And he donated his organs. If he had not donated his organs, they should not have taken them from him. He did not donate his sperm.
Right.
But they took it from him anyway.
And gave it to his parents.
And gave
it
to his parents.
In their interest, so they can continue the family.
So my question is, what woman are they going to put the sperm into?
Yeah.
Oh, what are they going to do? They're going to wait for find like a dead woman, get her eggs, and like combine these things together?
Yeah.
To make some kind of weird mausoleum? And how would the kids feel about that?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's very weird. I feel like science. So there's, I guess it's an ethical thing, and I don't know what my ethics are, you know, but it's this idea that there wasn't really a problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing wrong. He died. That's unfortunate. His organs were used for someone else, and that was his wish. Mm-hmm. That was his wish. But there's no other problem. The problem is not, well, now we'll never have a grandkid. It's like, well, yeah, that's how that works.
From a son.
From a
son. You have the other women.
Yeah, you have
other
women.
Clearly don't value.
Yeah. Wow. All right, good luck. I guess that's something to think about. If you do not want, gentlemen, if you do not want your sperm out there after you're no longer around, then I guess you need to write that in your in your will.
Yeah, it's just like, well, I really wanted this for myself, but only through you, so I need to extract that.
Yeah. Can they not adopt a child or something?
Yeah, but they want the family genes.
I hope that kid is all right then.
Yeah, I know. I know.
And it's what they want. Good grief.
I know. But this is a question, the whole thing of, first of all, the government's interference in your reproductive
life. And then your other people making decisions about your reproductive life.
Right. And then totally overlooking that there's other women in the family that can carry on the line.
In Utah, this is probably fine. like the harvesting of sperm.
They're like, oh, yeah.
But the son, yeah.
If it came from the son, then it must be equality.
So what was he doing when he died? Some risky...
He's skiing.
Okay. Interesting. So bizarre. So what is a black hole?
Oh, okay. I think a black hole is an event.
Well, apparently that's a part of it. I didn't know. A black hole is conventionally thought of as an astronomical object that irrevocably consumes all matter and radiation which comes into its sphere of influence.
Okay.
So it's a black hole, right? It sucks up everything. But it also says here it's defined by the presence of singularity, a region of space bounded by an event horizon.
I love the event horizon. That's the point of no return.
But not the movie.
Yes.
That's also the point of no return.
Yeah.
Within which mass and energy and density become infinite, and we normally well-behaved laws of physics no longer apply.
That's right.
So these are the conventional ideas.
The rules are there are no rules.
There are no rules. That's the first rule of black holes.
Yeah.
But apparently physicists.
Thank you.
Yeah. Quantum physicists and astrophysicists all have different definitions of what this thing could be.
Okay.
And apparently that's important to the idea of a black hole, is that depending on how you conceive of it, kind of colors the way that I guess we're going to treat this black hole thing if we ever come upon them.
But it's not a thing. Like, a rainbow is not a thing. Like, you can't hold...
Yeah.
You can't grasp a rainbow in your hands.
So it's interesting to me. I don't really consider...
How do you hold a rainbow? This could be my new song.
Mine would be, how do you get sucked into a black hole? I don't think about this kind of theoretical stuff that much. I like the idea of a black hole. Yeah. I think it's pretty cool. But definitely, if we ever see one, we should get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Yeah. I feel like if you see it, you're done.
Oh, like Medusa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, one look and that's it.
Yeah.
You know?
I think so. I feel like, you know, I've read the Brief History of Time, Stephen Hawking.
Oh, you
ever heard of him?
Yeah. I've never read any of his books because, quite honestly, that's not of interest to me at all.
Still, I don't understand much at all.
That's the second point I was going to make. I don't think I would understand any of it.
If you were to, like, say, I comprehend, like, at 100%, I was, like, at 2.
Hey, that's probably more than me.
But that's one thing I walked away with, is that it's like a perfect storm of elements. It's not a thing. It's not just
the
whole.
Opposite of what we have.
Right,
I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought it was interesting.
What is black hole?
Yeah.
So
many things I never think about. I'm too busy thinking about, like, is my train going to be on time?
I know, how much extra time do you need for the train?
That's the MTA is a black hole for time.
Yeah. It's true. It's like, everyone builds in a little time, extra time for, like, you know, snags and travel.
And if you're traveling somewhere that's more than an hour, usually the moment I get on, I let people know I might be late. Why? Because I'm using the MTA.
Yeah.
That's why I might be late. Did I leave early? Sure, I did. But again, I'm taking mass transit.
Yeah. It's like, do you add a 20 minutes on? Do you add a half an hour? Do you double the commute? You'll never know.
You never know.
What you need to do. Okay. Have you ever heard of a reindeer cyclone?
Are you kidding me? Is this a real thing?
This is a real thing.
Very cute storm.
Yeah. So, in the Viking community, Vikings were hunters.
Oh, I thought you meant today.
Yeah. Vikings were hunters, and they preyed on reindeer, bird, fish, seals, walruses, and even whales.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they made use of everything they could, but when they went out hunting reindeer, it's a little more difficult than you would imagine.
I've seen reindeer before. They're no joke.
They're no joke. And
they make deer look like mice. I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
deer look like mice?
Yeah, like, our deer just pale in comparison to reindeer.
Right, right.
They look tough. Well, talking about switchblades, I feel like they might have one.
Well, what they do... when faced with any kind of predator, the herd, they'll stampede, but they don't stampede in a straight line.
That's what I would do.
They run in a big vortex, a big circle.
Are you serious?
Yes. So if you stand in the middle, and then you shoot at one reindeer, all of them will start running
in a
big circle around you. Because it kind of disorients you. You can't quite pick one target. And they're constantly moving.
Fish do that as well. That's fascinating.
Yeah. So it's a reindeer cyclone. And it's really, really hard.
It must work. Because they're still around.
Yeah. And it's hard to really kill one. Because they're
because they're running
moving.
In a circle.
And it's freaking scary. Because you've got these giant animals.
I would
animals
be freaked out.
There.
We talk about all the time. What are some behaviors that if animals do them, would you be freaked out? If I saw a bunch of reindeer running in a circle, I might be like, you know what? This is my last day on Earth.
Yeah. It's kind of like.
I had a good run.
It's like the picture.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So once again, I failed to visualize what Katie is describing. I'm thinking like 10, 15, maybe 20 reindeer. This is hundreds of reindeer.
Hundreds.
Running in a circle.
Running in a circle around you. And so it's nearly
impossible.
You
just shoot into it?
You just shoot into it, but you can't target anything. You're not going to get anything. And it's
this
over.
Is how it goes.
Yeah, and so they'll probably get run over.
Sneak up. Oh, does it move towards you?
Well, I would imagine they're not going to, you know.
It's not tightly packed.
They're not going to, you know, run around you because they're being polite. They will run you over.
So if you're in the, you have to be clear of it. And you never know how the circle's going to form.
Yeah.
Or what direction it's going to go in. That's cool.
You could be
like
in the middle.
It.
You could be on the outside, but you better get the hell out of there.
You're in the middle of
it? If you're in the middle, you're dead,
just,
I would imagine.
You know, just hope. Hope is all you have when you're in the middle. So I have some penis news. Katie's segment earlier about the sperm was not penis news.
Yeah.
This is penis news.
Okay.
Penis news is a segment that we do. We report on dicks in the news, scrotum stories, dick updates, I don't know, the season of the shaft. I don't know. I'll come up with some more things. But I found this in the militarytimes.com. 1,800-year-old Roman penis carvings discovered near Hadrian's Wall. Some things never change. So it's interesting that this is from military culture because they said that in the military, there's a lot of opportunities, not opportunities, there's a lot of times when you're listening to commanding officers or something you did explain, and you're bored a lot, is what they're saying. And when you're bored, you start scribbling.
Okay.
And sometimes those scribblings come out as dicks.
Okay.
And they're saying this has been going on forever. So the point of the point of view of military times is like, are you the kind of guy who's sitting around listening to the commander and you scribble a dick? Guess what? This goes back hundreds and hundreds of years. So they found a very well-carved Roman penis on the side of Hadrian's Wall, the wall that's supposed to separate the Roman Empire from the barbarian. But it's, like, really well done.
Yeah.
Like, whoever
somebody
was there was
on their
bored.
Hands. Yeah.
Was really, really bored.
Carve a dick on this.
But it wasn't like a... This is carving in stone, so it wasn't just, like, a quick scrawl.
Yeah.
This is, like, he was working on it.
This was his post, probably, for months.
Yeah. He probably came back and was like, dude, I got the balls. The balls are done.
Yeah.
And next time you guys come marching around the shaft.
Yeah.
And then the tip. Yeah. And then I'm done. So it's a discovered, it's 207 AD, discovered at a quarry near Hadrian's Wall. They're working with archaeologists to, I guess, photograph the penis and take a cast of
it. You know.
But it's not the only thing that's there, too. There's some graffiti as well. Mm-hmm. So it's a distinctly identifiable phallus, a lot of other compositions. And at the time, a penis was also a tiding of good luck. Okay. So it wasn't that they weren't necessarily trying to be, like, dirty, but they were like,
yeah. Hey, this is good luck to
yeah,
us.
Yeah, good luck to you guys working on the wall. It's yeah. a penis. It's a penis for you. And it says it provides insight, not the penis, but the excavation provides insight to the organization of a construction project of Hadrian's Wall, as well as some very human and personal touches.
I like that they talk about the human and personal in it. And I think about how in years to come they'll come across some really like crass stuff that we had, and the thought of archaeologists like, this is what giving it some kind of heightened significance to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's a reflection of the time, but really it just says, like, you know, Pat was here.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Who is this Pat?
Pat.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the big story of Pat.
What does it mean?
Yeah.
You know.
As our country gets even weirder.
Yeah, it is getting real weird.
Out there. It is.
Real weird.
Listeners, if you feel like it's weird, we feel you.
Yeah, I haven't been able to read the news, and then but still things come through, and they're weird.
Yeah. I think we did go on to the mirror side. The other side of the mirror, rather.
The mirror, the dark side.
Yeah.
We're through the looking glass.
We did.
And it's bizarre. And I don't know if it's going to get weirder.
Or if we can change it. Can we turn this around?
I don't know. I don't know.
An Ohio city has voted to grant Lake Erie the same rights as a person.
So the right to choose?
It's like what person? Do you get to own a gun?
Yeah.
Or do you have no rights over your reproduction?
Yeah.
Which person is it?
Yeah, do I have the right to vote or no?
Yeah.
Like, what are my rights?
Yeah. Voters in Toledo, Ohio will decide whether to give Lake Erie the kind of rights usually granted the person.
Mm-hmm. Let me guess, they have been abusing this lake.
Yeah.
And they're hoping that these rights will bring it back.
The Lake Erie Bill of Rights, a ballot initiative in a special election, will establish irrevocable rights for the Lake Erie ecosystem to exist, flourish, and naturally evolve. And
okay.
A right to a healthy environment for the residents of Toledo.
Why was I not warned to put on a hat before this? This right already exists. Mm-hmm. It's like you giving me the right to be free. I'm already free.
Yeah. Right. Opponents say the law could cost the region jobs and have... I don't know how.
Anything that helps the environment will always cost a Republican jobs.
Oh, yeah.
Why can't they think about it? It'll add jobs and cleaning it up.
City officials told residents of Ohio's fourth largest city not to touch the tap water following an algae bloom in Lake Erie.
You read that like a news reporter. Are they getting their water from Lake Erie?
Federal experts found a toxin in the city's drinking water, potentially making it unsafe for human contact.
Okay, so your question of earlier, is it going to keep getting weirder? There might not be anything here to get weird.
I know.
That lake might have the last laugh.
Yeah, concerned citizens later sought legal recourse against polluters they believe drove this algae bloom, but hit a wall.
The jobs?
And the folks kept calling the Calvary, and the Calvary never came.
Yeah.
So there, it comes from a frustration over a lack of protection in state and federal law.
Mm-hmm.
So they, you know, people are polluting this lake, and it's making it unsafe, and so they have to, like, pull into this protection to make sure the lake is clean.
Are you telling me that people want clean water? What about jobs?
Lake Erie is dying, and no one is helping, and now is this this law will help, too. Clean up this ecosystem.
So how do they see, I mean, maybe this is kind of a philosophical question. They're saying Lake Erie is dying, but y'all are going to be dying next.
Yeah.
Like, we're all a part of this ecosystem.
I know.
You're poisoning yourselves.
Yeah.
Are people not seeing that?
Yeah, they're saying that they had to put this bill together to give it rights as a person so it could not be polluted anymore. Rather than just having, like...
A cleanup
and saying, stop polluting, and we're going to find the people who pollute.
Mm-hmm. But if you clean up this lake, it's going to cost jobs for the people that are trying to cure cancer,
mm-hmm.
for people in hospitals, the people that treat people who have been poisoned
mm-hmm,
by nasty
mm-hmm.
water. Are those the jobs that they're talking about?
Yeah.
I'm so confused. I don't. You know what? Maybe we don't deserve this lake.
Yeah, I...
You know, really, I mean, if you're really going to basically piss in your own mouth, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, they're saying...
So what's the bill going to do? Because presumably it's already illegal to pollute a lake, right? No?
No,
or that's okay. Jobs.
Yes. And, yeah, no regulations because that's against capitalism.
Well, that interferes with the jobs. I don't. Yeah. When they say jobs, I think they really mean profit, though. Yeah. I think they should just say profit.
They're just saying that fine. They want their corporations to be able to pollute and get rid of their garbage into the lake without any kind of recourse.
And it's too bad if you have to also drink from
it. That's too bad. So,
but do you want a job or do you want clean water?
So they're, I guess they're trying to get around, hey, if you won't put any regulations on these companies who are polluting the water, if you don't want to make a law against pollution, then you have to say then this lake has the same rights as a person, so then you can't do it?
But look what they do to people.
I know.
You know, I don't know. It's weird. It is getting weird. And we lived through Reagan.
Yeah.
So we know weird. Yeah. We know weird, dysfunctional, incompetent heads of state, you know, laying waste to the land. But the environmental piece, I feel like this should be a bipartisan, like surely even a Nazi wants clean water.
Yeah.
Right?
And you would think.
Or maybe not. I don't know.
I think that someone like that would be like, well, I'm not drinking the water.
But
it's
they
punishing
are.
Punishing the other people. Who don't deserve the water?
I don't know. That's to say, I can never come up with an argument against preserving our environment simply because it's the one thing that, if you think you're immune to toxins in the environment, good luck to you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, are there wealthy people who live around this lake? Are they just drinking bottled water all the time, or do they have special water filters? And if so, don't they think about the fact that when they go to a restaurant or somewhere else, they're drinking dirty water?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they constantly, you know, do they think that they are consuming natural resources in a way that's going to protect them?
Yeah.
That's bizarre. Well, I just wanted to, I'll close out because we have a few minutes left, but I would be remiss if I did not bring up a Hallmark TV original.
Yeah. Tell us about what's
this
going
is a
on.
Ring by Spring.
A ring by, oh God.
Business consultant Karen Briggs is still single at 30. Another
Karen.
White woman out there left on the shelf, but is in no rush to wed because she hasn't gotten the message yet.
Yeah.
She's always been skeptical about marriage, you know, because thinking the commitment would mean throwing away her future. She has let a string of steady boyfriends get away in favor of her own freedom. Get away.
She left the dungeon unlocked a couple of times.
They bounced.
Karen.
When she attends a fundraising event with friends, Greg with two G's and Stephanie, she playfully agrees to have her fortune read at a charity booth run by a soothsayer called Madame Rue, Stephanie Powers.
Oh, no.
Worth it for that,
yes.
one scene. Who ominously predicts Karen will have an engagement ring by spring, or she'll never marry. Dun, dun, dun.
Okay.
Karen doesn't give much thought to Madame Rue's fortune.
Because she's like, good.
Yes. Does she say something like, you'll rue the day? Like, I hope that's her tagline. Karen doesn't give much thought to Madame Rue's fortune as she starts a new job with friendly, laid-back boss Tom Housie, played by Kirby Morrow.
You know Kirby. Who names their child Kirby?
Who could forget a name like that? With whom she has a lot in common. But when Stephanie and Greg's fortune comes true, Karen worries that she might be closer to a ring than she thought from her uptight boyfriend, Bryce.
Ew.
Yeah, when Karen, it's a lot of people in this
There's a lot of going on here. Got
Karen,
Bryce and...
Greg, Stephanie, Madame Rue, Bryce. When Karen's suddenly very nervous about an impending proposal, Bryce shocks her when he breaks up with her instead. So she thinks she's about to get married. And at the last minute, I guess, does he get down on one knee and says, it's over? I don't know what the situation. That's my movie. But and then he tells her, you're not marriage material.
Ooh.
And he bounces. Finally faced with the truth that one guy didn't want to marry her, Karen must admit to herself that she needs to get over her fear of lifelong commitment. This is the whole movie in the synopsis, right? With spring fast approaching and no ring in sight, Karen wonders if Madame Rue meant to doom her to a life alone. Dun, dun, dun. Mm-hmm. And must learn the true sacrifice isn't getting hitched, but giving up real lasting love in A Ring by Spring.
I got stressed out already.
I know, this
just
is
like,
one of the worst. A Ring by Spring.
God, I don't know what's...
Yeah, I know. Usually they're a little more, like, ambiguous about it, and they leave it open.
Putting that kind of, that that time constraint on it.
Yeah, just, she's still single at 30.
Ugh. Bum, bum.
Yeah. So, in any case, that's it.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
Sperm. dead person sperm. Okay.
Is that penis news?
No.
Oh, come on. No. Yes, it is. It's penis news. No. I'm going to cut it so that I announce that it's penis news. Okay, it's a dead man's sperm.
What else? 5 ways to get rich.
Okay.
Didn't get out of it.
So we'll kick off with the sperm.
I don't want to kick it off with sperm.
Okay.